like 465 people. Not bad. Hold on, so let's see. On. I put in a new battery, so it should work. No. Where was that? Welcome to our annual. Hold on, wait, let me just put this thing on.
Good evening. It's a little late, so we want to start the program. Welcome everybody to the fifth annual Kinnis Tshuva. We really lost count. We have a special speaker, a special guest who made his way all the way from Miami Beach. Rav Yankov Gross, the Shkoil of Miami Beach. And the emphasis is that having become a Rosh Shkoil in the last little amount of time, I began to have a little bit of an appreciation for the life of a Rosh Shkoil, and not chas v'shalom to be mash v'kot and l'godl, but it's a tremendous schus to have a Yid who's holding up the banner of Torah in Miami Beach. And the emphasis is that the theme in the Kohel of the last couple of shmuzim that we had together was that one of the prerequisites to tshuva is Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seir Asecho, is the Limud HaTorah, is the first premise to being able to get to tshuva. And Rabbi Yankov is a Marbitz Torah and a Meifetz Torah in Miami Beach. And b'schus zeh, taka, they should be zeich over there, and we should taka be zeich also to a gemar chasima toivu. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Rabbi Schmelzer for giving me this opportunity. And I'd also like to thank the Baal HaBatim, who have truly been Meitzer Nefesh, together with Rabbi Schmelzer, to create such a Makom Torah, something that I'm sure that each and every one of you is very proud of. And Rabbi Schmelzer asked me to come here and to speak the Inyana D'Yayma, the concept of tshuva. But I felt that it would be appropriate not only to talk about tshuva, but also to talk about the chashivas of this wonderful Makom Torah here. I think I read a few words of the importance of Torah to tshuva. I'd like to talk about specifically the concept of a Mokim Torah and what it means to have a Mokim Torah, and somehow explain why that is so vital for the concept of Teshuva. I'd like to begin with a question that I'm sure bothers many people. We live in a generation where you have so many Kanaina Hara, Akshar Dara. We have so many people who are so-called Bali Tshuva. They fill the shuls, the Batei Midrashim, they fill the yeshivas. People who have been estranged from Torah for one generation, two generations, many generations, and they return to Torah. And to make it short, we see a drastic change in their lifestyles. People coming from all sorts of backgrounds that are light years away from anything remotely similar to Shmiras Torah Mitzvahs, and they become Bali Teshuva, and they're successful. They change their lifestyle. It's totally different, and it's 180 degrees in the opposite direction from where they were traveling. And this is the way they remain. And they raise children, and they have a beautiful home, and so many wonderful things. The power of tshuva. And yet, every Rosh Hashanah, Aser Shemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, Elul, for those of us who are Zriza Makdimim, we sit down and we do tshuva. Not only we do tshuva, I mean, including everyone, including even these self-same people who are Bali tshuva. And we promise the Ribbono Shel Olam, this will be the year where I will change my path. I will return to the presence of Hashem, and I'll change my life. And we know what the problem is. It's like I heard last night somebody use the word, which is a good word. It's every year, it's very eerily similar to what we've done the year before. It's like deja vu. Wasn't I here a whole year before? 12 months ago, I've been in the exact same spot. I was the same show, same spot, saying the same words. And we don't seem to be able. And even these same Bali Tshuva are so successful in turning over their lives, but ask them to change a little thing, they struggle and they fail. And Aser Shemei Tshuva come, and Aser Shemei Tshuva go. And the question is, why does this happen? So I'd like to answer this question. I think the answer to this question lies in a Gemara in Masechtas Yevamos. The Gemara begins, Tani Shimon ben Azai. Omer. We learn. Shimon ben Azai, the ben Azai that we know, he says, Omer, Matzasi Megillus Yuchsin b'Yerushalayim. We found an ancient scroll in Yerushalayim about the Yuchos for various families, and it said various things in it about Yuchos, some unpleasant Yuchos about certain mishpachos. Obviously, to keep record of this Yuchos, it was written in a scroll, and it was put away. But in there, there were some other things also. Uchsivba. It says in there, and we'll hear more about this later, is Menashe Harag Es Yeshaya. Menashe killed the Navi, Yeshayahu HaNavi, who happened to be his grandfather. He assassinated his own grandfather. And the reason why he did it, is Menashe was a Rosha Marusha. He's one of the top Rishoyim in Jewish history. And Menashe, while he was a Rosha Marusha, of course he used the Frumah Cheshvin, as we call it. He came up with some very religious reason to go ahead and assassinate his grandfather. And he asks his grandfather three questions in which he seems to contradict what it says in the Torah. Based on those three contradictions, he says, you're an apikoiris, and therefore you should die. And Yeshayahu runs away. The Gemara says he hid inside a tree, and he chopped down the tree, and his grandfather was chopped in half. This is the story of Menashe. I would like to focus on one of the three contradictions that Menashe had. Now the Gemara points out that Yeshayahu said, these contradictions, I know the answer. They're not difficult. But he's never going to listen. So it's better that I don't just run away. And the Gemara tells us that one of the questions he asked them is relevant to us in these days. It says, he says, Moshe Rabbah. Moshe Rabbeinu writes in the Torah, Mika Hashem aleikeinu b'chol kareinu elov. Who is like Hashem that he's accessible whenever we call him? Va'at Amrit. And you, my grandfather, you're not Bikiris. Dirshu Hashem b'himotzai. Kiru b'yosei karev. Is search out the Ribbono Shel Olam only when he's available. So this was Menashe's question. And Yeshayahu said, there's no way that I can answer him. He'll never understand the answer. Let me run away. And he was killed. The Gemara says, what is the answer? So the Gemara says, the answer that everyone knows is Dirshu Hashem b'imotzai is Habi Yachid Habi Tzibur. The Gemara says, how do you answer up that question? Is Hashem is always accessible if it's a Tzibur doing tshuva, if it's a community together, if the whole Tzibur If the whole congregation, the whole community gathers to do teshuvah, then it's b'chol kareinu eila. However, if it's a yachid, if it's an individual doing tshuva, then it's only doing aseres yemei teshuva. This is the difficult. This is the story with Menashe. The question is, it seems to be a very simple answer. Why wouldn't Menashe accept this? Menashe should have said. I mean, Yeshaya should have told him. So there's a difference. It depends. It's not a very complicated question. But the answer is, we have to understand, why is it like that? Why is the tshuva of a yachid only accepted during Aseret Yemei Teshuva? And why is the tshuva, the tefillah of a person accepted b'tayrus rabin, when together with a tzibur, throughout the whole year? I think the answer lies in a Poshetis Svara that works with tshuva. It's something that's very, very important, and I think this is the main idea that I'd like to convey tonight. I found the same exact idea. Rabbi Dessler also suggests this. If you think about it, why should the Ribbono Shel Olam distinguish between the tshuva of an individual and the tshuva of a tzibur? And the svara is, if an individual does tshuva, so then what happens is you lose it. You lose your inspiration, the Yetzer Hara comes to you, you get worn down, you lose your strength, you lose the power, your conviction, it's all lost. And then what happens? You go back to your old ways. And once you go back to your old ways, you are where you are. When a person does tshuva as part of a community, when you do tshuva as part of a rabbin, when you do tshuva together with everyone else, that's a whole different story. I give a mashal. I remember still when I was in Yeshiva Bachar, going back close to 30 years ago, I remember there was a in my yeshiva, in Philadelphia yeshiva, there was a few of us got together, two of us I think it was, and we decided, three of us maybe, is that there had to be something to create some kind of inspiration for people to go ahead and start learning Shmiras Halashim. And everybody should sit there and maybe learn a halach every day, and we were going to make up a chart and have this happen, and we tried enlisting people to go ahead and do this. And the idea totally was a total failure. It was a total failure. It didn't work. Nobody was interested. No one got signed up. The whole thing didn't work. And it failed away. That was the end of the idea. A few years later is, of course, as we know, is this whole thing, the whole Lashon Hara movement started. This whole thing about people, the Machzor Lefi, the Mishmeres, all the other things, learning halacha of Mishnah Berurah, of Shmiras HaLashon every day. It became a big popular thing, and all of a sudden the exact same people we went over to 2 years ago, is they were never interested. All of a sudden these people are all signing up, they're going to learn, and the whole yeshiva started learning Shmiras HaLashon every day, one halacha, two halachas. And the answer is very simple, once again. If it's tshuva sayachid, if it's one individual here, it comes and it goes. If it's tshuva sarabim, so that does not happen. Tshuva sarabim, when you go ahead and you start doing tshuva with everyone else, so you're locked into it. You're locked into it as part of the tzibur. And there's no way that you're going to back out of it. It's part of you and who you are. This is, by the way, going back to our original question. You ask a question. You have these bali tshuva who go ahead and change their lives. How could they manage to do that? And the answer is because they change their community. They change their community. They go from one place to another community. They have to pick up and they leave. They change their friends. They change who they associate with. Of course, if you change who you're with, and that's your choice, that's your bechira, then you've done a tshuva, which is called tshuva sarabim. You've become a tshuva that is locked into place. Such a tshuva doesn't go away. That's why tshuva sarabim, the Ribbono Shel Olam listens to the whole year long, because it's a real tshuva that's never going to change. Tshuva sayachid, on the other hand, meaning when I do it on my own, it's not part of a general movement of everyone altogether. So such a tshuva, as we said, it comes and it goes. There's nothing around me that's supporting me, that's holding me in that position. And if the Yetzer Hara makes me stumble, it's all over with. And that's the end of my tshuva, and it's gone till the next year. And the next year I'm going to be standing in the exact same spot. Ribbono Shel Olam, help me with A, B, and C. And next year, A, B, and C. And it's the same things over and over again. Tshuva Sayachid is very, very weak. And however, Ribbono Shel Olam Barachamov, during Aseri Simei Teshuva, as we'll talk about later, we'll explain this later, Ribbono Shel Olam has mercy on us, that during Aseri Simei Teshuva, it is accepted. Even Tshuva Sayachid. That means the little tshuvas that we do in these few 10 days, we're a little bit extra careful, we speak less Lashon Hara, we give extra tzedakah, we daven with more kavana, we have a little bit more care in Shemir Shabbos. That kind of tshuva, during a session, tshuva works. But during the rest of the year, it does not work. Why didn't Menashe understand this? Let's take a look at Menashe. Menashe was an interesting fellow. As we said before, he was a Rosh Marusha. He was one of the worst Rishayim that Klal Yisrael ever had. He was so bad that in his days, it was nigzat that there was going to be a Churban. Even though, after his days were over, first of all, he was a Russia. He was a king for 55 years. 22 years of that, he was a Russia. 33 years, he was a tzaddik. It didn't help. He had ingrained the rishus, the avodah zara, the idol worship, so strongly ingrained inside the consciousness of the Jewish people that the fact that he turned around and he became a tzaddik did not help. The fact that his child, his grandchild, was a big tzaddik did not help. The fact that there were many Nevi'im did not help. He made idol worship so much part and parcel of who we were back then that the Churban was guaranteed, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was guaranteed. That was Menashe. Why? Because Menashe used the power of his Melucha, the fact that he was royalty, the fact that he was king, the fact that he was in control, he created an environment of avodah zara, idol worship. That was Menashe. This is Menashe HaRosha. Menashe only understood that. He understood the power. He understood the power of what it meant. Change the environment. You change the environment in which you live. You put avodah zara into everyone's home. You put it into the Beis HaMikdash. You adulate avodah zara. You make it the most important thing. He says you'll change everybody, and they'll never change back again. It's a guaranteed churban. That was the power. He understood the power of the rabbin, what it meant. And Yeshayahu looks at him and says, "My grandson is the kind of person that only understands the power of the rabbin. He understands the power of what it means to do Shuvas Harabim for good and for bad." And so he understands the whole Karenu Elov. He understands what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Hashem is accessible, Shuvas Harabim. If everybody becomes good, everyone will be good. And if you want to be a Rasha, how do you be a Rasha? Join a community where everyone else is doing it. You're guaranteed to fall into that trap. This is what Menashe understood. And that's what his grandfather said, he'll never understand when I explained to him that sometimes a yachid, an individual, can also do tshuva. That's beyond him. Because he says, what do you mean? It's a joke. He'll never going to keep it. It doesn't mean anything. Menashe couldn't understand what it means to go through an Aseret Simei Teshuva until something happened. And there's a pliyadik Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi tells us the following. This is such a beautiful Yerushalmi, I have to read you the words. Menashe was a king, and I told you before, for 22 years he was a Rosh Marusha. After 22 years he had an epiphany, a change of heart, but it wasn't because he had an inspiration. something else happened. It says, "Ksivai davar Hashem l'Menashe v'al amoy." V'lo yikshivai. Hashem said prophets to Menashe, and the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim says he didn't listen. So the enemies of the Jews, Aram, comes and he attacks Menashe. Vayilkados Menashe bechechem. So ma'u bechechem bekiru minikiyaya. We don't know exactly what that means, but it was caught in thorns. They caught him in a thorn bush. Maybe he was hiding there, running away from the enemy. Omer Ablevi, mula shol nechayshus asalai. I still think they do this some places in the former Soviet Union. I forgot one of those breakaway provinces. They still do this. Adayemazeh. They took a big pot of copper. They made it special for him. And they started heating up the water. The water is good and gishmak boiling. And they slowly lower Menashe into this pot of boiling water. All right, obviously he's not enjoying himself, to say the least. And the fire is burning underneath and it's boiling and he's dying in there. Kivin Shirosh Sarasai Tsara. So he says, "I'm in big trouble. What should I do?" So he starts speaking. He says, "In the name of this Avodah Zarah, in the name of the other Avodah Zarah, save me. Anyone, please, answer me." And he goes from Avodah Zarah to Avodah Zarah. Kivin Shaloi Hayalai Klum. Nothing was working. He's dying there. Omer Zachar Ani. All of a sudden, he has a memory that comes back. Shaya Avi, that my father, Makra Isi Esaposik Hazeb Beisa Knesses. My father used to take me to shul when I was a child. And he taught me the following pasuk. B'tzar lecha, when things are difficult, u'mitzu'ucha kol advarim o'eila b'achris hayomim, and at the end of times, all these terrible things will happen to you. V'shavta ad Hashem aleikecha, you will return to Hashem your God. V'shamata b'koiloi, ki kel rachum Hashem aleikecha. Hashem is merciful. V'yarpecha v'lo yashchisecha. He's not going to let go of you. He's not going to let you get hurt. He won't forget that your forefathers were great tzaddikim. Asher nishbolem, he promised them. So he says, "I remember, that's what my father taught me when I was a kid. Harini kaira isai. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to call out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Im oini oisi muta. If Hashem answers me and saves me from this pot of boiling water that my enemies are torturing me to death with, that's good. V'imlav, and if Hashem doesn't answer me, hokol apaya shavian, I finally proved in my life that Yiddishkeit's a phony baloney." So what would you say to such a person? So you tell him, go jump in the lake. I'm not interested in this. I'm not here to prove myself to you. For all you malachi asharis mistamtmin es acholoyne shaloi talit tfilosa shel Menashe. This tefillah stunk so much. It stunk that the malachim quickly closed the windows. We're not letting this tefillah into Shemayim. This is not going to be allowed into Shemayim. We're not going to let this tefillah chutzpah nayvah. He's coming to scream to Hashem, "You better save me or else." And because why? Because he remembered one pasuk when he was a child. So the malachim shut the windows. Shloi talat tfilos shel Menashe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayu malachi asharis oimrim lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when they sit there, the Rebbe says, "What are you shutting the windows for?" "Well, there's this terrible tefillah out there. We got to stop it from coming in." And they said, "Ribbono shel Olam, Adam she'ovid avodah zarah, v'hem etzelam b'heichol, ata mekabel b'tshuva? How are you going to let him bring this back in? How could you take him?" Amar lahem, "Im ani mekabel b'tshuva, im eini mekabel b'tshuva, if I don't accept the b'tshuva, Hari ani noyel es hadels v'fnei gobal b'tshuva. If I shut the windows now, that means I'm shutting the windows forever for tshuva." We'll explain this shortly. Ma'asalei kodesh baruch hu. So what did he do? Chaserlei. The windows were shut. Chaserlei chasir mitach kisei ha'kovet shaloi. V'shamat chinosai. Hashem made a special entrance for his tefillah to come in. And the tefillah of Menashe comes in. Hodu d'chsiv. V'ayispalu eilav. He davened to Hashem. V'ayeter loy Hashem. Listen to him. V'ayishmat chinosai v'yashiveyu. And in the Gemara that we have, the Gemara has a slightly different nusach in the pasuk. It's strange that the Farshim talk about it. Vayechater lai. He went and he dug a special hole for Menashe HaRasha. Vayishuveyu Yerushalayim L'malchusa. And then he becomes king for another 33 years. This is the story of Menashe. We said before, Menashe understood what a Rabban meant. He understood what it means to be able to change everyone for good if you live in a good community. And if you live in a bad community, if you live in a Avodah Zarah community, everyone's going to become a Rosh Marusha forever. It becomes ingrained in you. He didn't understand Shuvas HaYachid. And Ribbono Shel Olam says, you don't understand that, and you killed your grandfather. I'll teach you what it means, Shuvas HaYachid. I'll teach you what it means. I'll put you in a pot of boiling water, and you'll find out. This is what the Gemara means, maybe, when it says that if I don't accept his tefillah, that is the end for all tefillahs of every Baal Teshuvah. Because if I don't accept the fact that he's learning now what it means, Shuvas HaYachid, this is the lesson for every person to realize that it's possible even for an individual to do Teshuvah. If I don't accept it now, if I don't create the lesson now, so this will be the end, this will be the end of Teshuvas HaYachidah. So this Ribbono Shel Olam teaches Menashe, and B'tzar L'chol Mutzu'ucha. So in the worst situations, Menashe was taught that you can call out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Just want to read you a few words here from Rabbi Dessler where he says the same idea. He says, Avol Mabed Ha'emes Eino Masmed Eitzel Ha'odom. A person in his battle with the Yetzer Hara. So sometimes we're inspired to see the truth. L'fomim Hu Mischazek Baik. Sometimes the truth hits you really hard. And you change. And sometimes the silliness of the Yetzer Hara with all his arguments and excuses why you should do all these kinds of crazy things. So sometimes you get affected by that. And it hits you. The shtus. Mayas adam. So what happens to a person? You have a person. A person is mentally imbalanced. So sometimes he's healthy. Sometimes he cracks up. This person, when he cracks up, he has a tendency to take things in his home and destroy them, take his money and throw it out on the streets. What is he supposed to do? And then he wakes up the next morning when he becomes back to normal again. He says, what did I do to myself? I destroyed myself again. What do you do? So, of course, obviously, you put money and you put it into the control of someone who has control over it. Therefore, if the person becomes ill, so then he won't destroy his money. He says, a human being, the Gemara says. The Gemara in the Nedarim says, when the Yetzer Hara is in your heart, you can't think of the Yetzer Tov anywhere. It's millions and billions and trillions of miles away, the Yetzer Tov. It's gone. The Yetzer Hara fills your heart. You have that desire, you have that lust, you can't control yourself. What do you do? What is a person going to do? Going to rely on himself? Going to rely on my resolutions that I've done for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? They're useless. The Yetzer Hara is in my heart. What's the control? Ein Eitzel Shiyitzarif L'Rabim. The only answer to this problem, and this problem hits us all the time, each and every one of us, nobody is immune from this. No one is immune from this. The only thing to do is become part of a Rabim. Ki Sidre Rabim Yishmeru. The way everyone together behaves, that will protect the person. And the fact that you're also embarrassed in front of my friends, I'm going to do such a terrible thing. This protects people. This is the difference between Shuvas Rabim and Shuvas HaYachid. The power. The power of doing Shuvah is part of a Rabim. Let me just digress for a moment here and explain what is the power of the Shuvas HaYachid. Why during Aser Simei Teshuvah does that work? The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos is La'asid Lavoi. At the end of time, is the Jewish people are going to come up for the final judgment. Were we successful in our time allotted on this world to accomplish what we were supposed to accomplish? Or were the Jewish people, on a whole, not successful? So it says, La'asid Lavoi, Yom Eloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram. So Hashem is going to turn to Avram Avinu. He says, Banecha Chatuli, your children sinned to me. Amar l'fan of Ribbono Shel Olam, if that's the case, they failed their mission, Yimochu al Kedusha Shemecha. They should be wiped out. We failed. La'asid Lavoi, the Jewish people did not do what they were supposed to do in all the years. They should be destroyed. So Amar Emer Leila Yaakov. Hashem says, that's all you have to say. You can't say anything better than that. He turns to Yaakov Avinu. The Avalei Tzar Gidol Bonim. He says, Yaakov Avinu suffered a lot with his children, so maybe he appreciates all these Jewish people in the world. Nebuch, he wants them all to get destroyed. So after the boy Rachmi Alai, maybe he'll say something good about them. Amar Le Bonecha Chatu Amar Lefana Ribayne Shlalom Yimocha Kedusha Shemecha. They failed. Forget it. Amar Lefana Ribayne Shlalom. I'm sorry. Amar La. So the Ribayne Shlalom says Le Besavi Taima V'loy Bedar Dediki Eitzah. And the grandfather of Ram, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And the grandson Yaakov, he doesn't have giving us any good advice here. Amar Le Yitzchak. So he turns to Yitzchak. Bonecha Chatu Li. Your children have sinned to me. Omer Lefanov, Ribbono Shel'olam, Bonai V'loy Bonecha. They're my children and not your children. This is Yitzchak talking to Hashem. He says, they're your children too. B'shoshek dima lefanecha nasa v'nishma karasa lahem b'lini b'chayri. When they said nasa v'nishma, you called them b'lini b'chayri. You're coming to me, they're your children. They're your children, they're your children, Hashem. They're not my children, Yitzchak says. They're your children too. He said, Hashem, okay, let's make a cheshbon over here. Let's make a calculation. How many sins did the Jewish people do already? You're saying they failed. I don't believe they failed. A person that lives 70 years. Subtract 20 until 20. We're not punished in heaven. 13 is for bar mitzvah on earth. But in heaven, we don't get punished until we're 20 years old. So there are 50 years left over where we can sin. So we sleep. Let's say half our life we're sleeping. So 25 years, there's nothing wrong that happens. Is possible chafe? So we're left with 25 years max that they sin. He says the rest of another half of our life, the next 12 and a half years left over, so we spend davening, learning, and the Beis HaKisei. So possible tarte sorry palga. So there's 12 and a half years left that people can sin. So I'm at the soivlas kula mutav. Hashem, if you take care of those 12 and a half years, I don't think it's much. If you think it's still too much, palga alai upalga alecha. He says, I'll split it with you 50-50. So, v'im timtza loimar. And if you say, kulam alai, no, you're not willing to take even 50-50 deal here, he says, ha'krivis nafshoi kamach. He says, I was already moser nefesh for you. I gave up my life. I was on the mizbeach. I was willing to give up my life. So count that towards the 12 and a half years that the Jewish people sinned. The question is, why is Yitzchak able to come up with this argument and no one else? He goes ahead and he minimizes what we do wrong. Come on, Hashem. It's only so little. This is all it is, and you're complaining about this? And the Gemara answers that Ribbono Shel'olam is excited with what Yitzchak says. So I once heard from my father-in-law an explanation that what Yitzchak is able to argue that no one else was able to argue was that if we remember when Esav came to get the blessings, so Esav wanted to have the blessings for Gashmius, and Hashem said no, and Yaakov wanted to have the blessings. And we assume everybody else wanted that Yaakov should have the blessings. Meaning, because Yaakov was supposed to be a Yoshev Olam studying Torah. But at the same time, Yaakov to be successful, the Jewish people to be successful in their ruchnias, they need to have Gashmias too. You can't be successful. You've got to give the bracha to Yaakov. And we know the whole trick that Hashem said. The only one that said that Yaakov, that this was wrong was Yitzchak. Yitzchak said, I should give the Gashmias to Esav, and Yaakov should be a Yoshev HaHolam. All Jews in this world should be totally focused only on Ruchnias. He comes back to Hashem at the end of time. Hashem, if you would have gone my way, it would have been different. If we would have been focused only on Ruchnias, do you think that they would have done so many Averas? It doesn't count. This is why Yitzchak's able to come with this argument, minimizing Hashem. You put them in situations where it was too difficult to overcome because he gave them the Gashmias. This is why Tshuvas HaYachid works during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Because Aseres Yemei Tshuva is a time when every Jew is living a little bit like Yitzchak Avinu wanted. Yitzchak Avinu wanted us to be focused. We spent 2 days in Shul, Rosh Hashanah, davening, listening to Divrei Torah, saying Tehillim, donating money to the Shul, whatever it might be, to some other cause. We saw Yom Kippur, saw Yom Gedalia, Shavuot Shuvah. It's days that are jam-packed with Ruchnias. We reach a little bit to the Madrega of Yitzchak Avinu. When we reach the Madrega of Yitzchak Avinu, we're living on a whole different level. We're living in a different world than the rest of the year. This is why during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, in that world that we live in, which Hashem says, you know what? That could be a world that really Jews should be living in all the time. A world which is totally Ruchnias. Unfortunately, that's not the way the Ribbono Shel Olam paskins. But when we could live like that, we show how dedicated we are. So this is why the Tshuva of a Yochid is accepted during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. I know we started late, but whatever. I just want to finish off with one little thing over here. It says, Amar Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma, a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Pam acha sayisi mahalach baderech. It says, one time I was going on the road. Upaga bi adam echad. And somebody met me. This is what Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma saying. I was going on the road, somebody met with me. V'nosan li shalom, he says, shalom aleichem. V'nosayati li shalom, he says, aleichem shalom. Amarti li, Rabbi Meizim Malkei Matzah, where do you come from? Amarti li, Mi'ir Gedoyla, Shel Chachomim Shel Seifermani. I come from a town with huge amounts of Talmidei Chachomim and scholars and Seiferim, and they know everything. Amar li, Rabbi, Ritzayin Chashatadir, Imanu Bim Kremenu, would you like to live in our city? V'ani etein lecho elef alofe alofim dinrei zov avonim toivis amargoli. I'll give you millions and billions of dollars. I'll give you all the money in the world. You come to our town, and you'll be the rabbi here. You'll teach us. You'll be the one. Amarti lois, I told him, emata nicely cold kesev izov avonim toivus amargolish ba'olim. Give me every penny in the world. Any dar album claim title. I'm only going to live in a mokim title. So there, everyone asks the question, what do you mean? If he gives him so many millions and billions of dollars, it's very simple. What you could do is, you could open up a huge Malkum Torah. You bring thousands of Talmidei Chachamim here. You'll spend all that money. You'll open up. Why is he refusing to live in his place? On the contrary, it's the most generous, wonderful offer. He goes ahead and he's creating the opportunity to make a huge Malkum Torah. This isn't the times that I thought people struggled. Talmidei Chachamim were struggling. They were all poor. They were all suffering. This is gewaldic. He's offering him all the money in the world. Create a Malkum Torah here. So why does he refuse to open it up? And the answer is, this has to do with Shuas Harabu. This has to do with Shuas Harabu. As the reason is because there was one huge problem. Ein Hachanami. If you'd have all that money in your pocket, you'd be able to create a Malkum Torah, it's gewaldic. But when the person went ahead and made that offer, there was one huge problem with that offer. Is that he didn't understand what a Malkum Torah is about. A Malkum Torah, of course it needs money, but it's not built on money. That's what he understood. If I'm going to, Rabbi, I'll give you all the money in the world, you just come because I need you. But he understands money. That's all he understands. You're worth, you want, I want, I'll get you because I have the money. I will control you because I have the money. And the foundation of this Malkum Torah that will be built in this town will be money. He says, "Any dar el b'mokim tara." He says, "That's not going to be a mokim tara, because when the foundations are not built upon kedusha, so then that is not a mokim tara. What is a mokim tara? Of course, you need the money. Of course, you need the help, and of course, it's a huge we'll apply it to right over here. It's a huge mitzvah to be able to help whatever you can." To support this Malkum Torah and to be able to keep it a viable Malkum Torah. But that is never the foundation of what a Malkum Torah is. The foundation has to be Torah, the foundation has to be Kedusha, the foundation has to be a Malkum for the Shechina of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Of course you need the money. That's Olam Hazeh. That's the world we live in. And what's the difference? The difference is because when you come into such a place, it changes who you are. if you come into a Makom Torah, you're no longer the same person. This is what we're talking about. When we talk about Tshuvas HaRabim, we talked about if a person does Tshuvas HaYachid, you got to go on your own. But if you want to do Tshuvas HaRabim, if you want to go ahead, so where do you go? You go into a Makom Torah, you become part of a movement. You become part of a Rabbin. And like we saw beforehand, so that forces you to be part of it. You become part of it and you become a different person. And such a tshuva is immovable, unchangeable, and it changes who you are and what's in your heart. So this is what we are. We are now in Aseret Yemei Tshuva. We're in the Zman of Yitzchak Avinu. We're in the time where we live in a higher Madrega. But part of that tshuva should also be to make sure it lasts afterwards. And how do we make sure it lasts afterwards? The answer is by become friends with people who are what you want to be, Ruchnias. Be part of a mokim. Be part of an environment that makes you want to be better all year long. That makes you feel proud of who you are when you're a tzaddik. When you try to be a little bit better. When you try to do more mitzvahs and be closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And by doing this, you'll be doing a tshuvas harabim. It'll be a tshuva that lasts. And in Mitzvah Shem, you'll come back the next year and you won't be able to say, because Ribbono Shel Olam is still the ABC, but Mitzvah Shem, the next year, you'll be up to D, E, and F. You'll be up to the next three things that you can do tshuva. May the Ribbono Shel Olam be mezakas to be able to do now tshuva sayochid and the tshuva sarabim. And by doing this, we should be zaycha that this Malkam Torah should grow to be an emes dik, a tiferes for all of Klal Yisrael, and it should be a tiferes, abiyaz gael tzedek b'mher v'yomeinu.
Our last and final speaker, is he still here? Oh. I just want to shortly just introduce Rabbi Shapiro, the Murad Asra. As the minig is, whenever we get the opportunity to sichu, to thank once again in public Shari Tfila for the tremendous graciousness in hosting us, besides the schus for them, but I'm talking about on our end, the Hakaras HaTov that we have to be able to use this mokum, to be able to learn Torah, marbitz Torah, and like the Shkoyla said, to create that tzibur that could ripple effect further outwards, to be able to give everyone the opportunity to become a part of this, for what Rabbi Gross said, this should be their tzibur that they could associate with. And it's thanks to Shari Tfila and my dear Shvoga, the Rav, for availing the place to us and giving us that opportunity.
One of the dvarim that we spoke about in our Shabbos Shuva Drasha a few days ago was the importance of Hakaras HaTov. And Hakaras HaTov means to be eternally grateful. And I can think of no more appropriate way to begin just a few days before Yom HaKippurim than expressing my Hakaras HaTov once again to the Koilo, Befrat, to the Yungalite, and especially Achron Achron Choviv to my Tyra Shvogar, the Rosh Kailo Shlita. It's a very special thing. It's a great schus for me. My father Zatzal would always say, Mi yodeya mi machazik esmi. I understand what he means, because for me to be able to speak in the Kailo time and time again, especially in front of the Yungalite, and I'm grateful to them that they came to the Drasha, having my shvogar, he should live and be well, as the Rosh Kailo, mi yodeya mi machazik esmi. It's a schus and a chizuk that I don't take for granted. And it's only apropos that I begin by publicly expressing our Hakaras HaTov and my Hakaras HaTov, perhaps even with a little note of I feel badly. I know that this past week, maybe the Kailo was in a little bit of a... Maybe the Kailo was in a little bit of a nov and nud and felt a little bit like Klal Yisrael, but it was for a good thing. Baruch Hashem, the shul did need the additional space, at least Baruch Hashem on the Yom Noroyim we do, And although it created a difficulty in terms of the Yungalite having to wander a little bit and think that they were being misplaced or maybe even thrown out, that is not the case. It was simply logistically, when a number of places are under one roof, it takes everyone getting used to and working it out. So if there was an inconvenience, I certainly feel badly and apologize, but I think it was certainly a good growing experience for everyone involved. The Gemara in Psachim, Pei Vav Amid Beis, tells us it's a Bavusta Gemara. The Gemara in Psachim says, in talking about what your responsibility is to a person who is hosting you for a meal, Kol Masha Oymer L'chol Baal HaBayis Asei Chutz Mitzei. Literally, the way it's most commonly understood, whatever the Baal HaBayis, your host, tells you, asei, you have to do, chutz mitzei, except for tzei, which doesn't mean if he tells you to leave, unless he tells you something that involves leaving the house. By example, if he asks you to help in the house with the dishes or the sweeping, asei, you have to. But if he says go to the market and purchase something, you don't have to listen. So says the Gemara in Psachim Pei Vav Amid Beis, Kol Ma She'omer L'cho Baal HaBayis Asei Chutz Mitzei. There you don't need to listen. Zokt the Chsam Sofer. The Heilige Chsam Sofer Zechusa Yogan Aleinu says, this Gemara is talking about the Baal HaBos of the Olam. The Baal HaBos of the universe, which is of course the Ribbono Shel Olam. Zokt the Chsam Sofer. Kol Masha Eimer L'cho Baal HaBayis Asei. Whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam tells you to do, you must do. He's your Baal HaBayis. Chutz Mitzei. Except if the Ribbono Shel Olam tells you, go out, stop. You don't need to do any more tshuva. It's enough. There you're not supposed to listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam for everything. Asei. Chutz Mitzei. Except, says the Chsam Sofer, if he tells you that, say, go out, stop, it's enough of the tshuva, enough of the repenting, you don't listen. And of course, the Chsam Sofer brings the raya from the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga, Tezvov Amar Aleph, tells us by Acher, that Acher heard from Abasko, tshuva bonim, everyone should repent and do teshuva, except for Acher. And indeed, Acher listened to that Baskol, and he didn't repent. The Marsha speaks out what the Gemara means. The Shlo on the Gemara explains the reason that you don't listen when you're being told by the Ribbono Shel Olam to stop doing tshuva, when he tells you tzei, is because it's an isoyon. It's a challenge. The isoyon, the challenge is to see that in this particular situation, you won't listen to what the Baskol says. Because complacency tells you, I'm good to go. Complacency tells you, yeah, taketzei, it's enough, genug. The challenge and the nisoyon is, zok de shlo, not to listen to the bas kol on the shlichus of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that was Acher's mistake. He heard shuvu bonim except for himself, and he listened to it, and there you're not supposed to listen, as the Chsam Sofer says, whatever the Baal HaBos tells you, asei. Except if it's the Nisoyon where he tells you it's enough tshuva, you can stop. You know, where you start feeling the complacency and good about yourself, you don't have to push yourself to the limit. That's not true. Says the Chsam Sofer, you do. So maybe a couple of days before Yom HaKippurim, I'm speaking to myself, as I always try to do when I speak publicly. Now with a little bit of an ear infection, I'm literally speaking to myself, for I hear myself in an echo form. But you're invited to listen. Before Yom HaKippurim, it's a time to ask ourselves, have we pushed ourselves to the limit? Or is it, say, you know, we went out and it's a complacency that's set in. Let me tell you a maisa. After the Chazon Ish was married, he was a younger man learning in Kaden, and nochdem he went to Vilna. The Chazon Ish spent day and night, yoimim v'layla, learning by himself in a Beis Medrash in Vilna. On occasion, he went ahead and he learnt with Bochrim that came and went. There was one bocher he learned with in Vilna when he, the Chazon Ish, was a younger man, a riziger balkishrin, off the charts. Such a balkishrin was this bocher. The Chazon Ish wrote a number of svarim during those years in Vilna. And the Chazon Ish, in one of the final svarim, wrote Mar Mekoymus on something, Ayin Babakama, Ayin Ksubis, Ayin Anida, Ayin Erchen, whatever the Gemara was. When the manuscript was going to print, this Rizigah Balkishrin took the manuscript and put in every Gemara that the Chazon Ish was referring to. Ayin Gimel and Baba Kama, and Nun Vav over here, and Tayalif over here, and Tezvav over here. And I think, the Sefer went to print that way with his Ha'oris, or adding in every one of the Dvarim that the Chazon Ish was referring to. Together with his Kishroinus, he was a Vilda Bocher. And this Bocher got in trouble somehow, I don't know this part of the detail, but with the Russian secret police. But he did something wrong, but he managed with the Russian police to use his Kishroinus in ingratiating himself to the secret police. In other words, I guess they found this Bocher to be somewhat charming. They originally brought him in because he did something wrong. But after a while, because of his kishroinus, he won them over. And how did he win them over? He started to maser another Yidden. He went ahead and he would inform on this one, inform on that one. And as the years came and went, he rose in rank to second in command in this secret police part of the Russians. And the whole while, every time he informed that he malshin, that he masered, he was mamish committing murder. He was, who even knows the cheshboin of how many yidden he was responsible for actually killing. After a number of years, he was taking an international trip. At this point, he was a Russian diplomat. He was taking a trip. And I don't know if he asked to stop in Israel, or if it was stopping there, but on this trip he had Hirhurei Tshuva. How could I have fallen from having gone to having worked on a sefer of the Chazon Ish to killing Jews with my hands? He stopped in Israel and he went to Bnei Brak and he said he wants to go to the house of the Chazon Ish. He gets out, this Russian diplomat does, in a big fancy car. And he was bareheaded. He asked one of the people there for a yarmulke. They went ahead and they gave him a yarmulke. He puts it on and he enters by the Chazon Ish. He spent a number of hours there. I don't know if it was in straight conversation with the Chazon Ish, or the Chazon Ish went about with his Seder Hayoim and he stopped at intervals for the man. That I don't know. And he started to talk to the Chazon Ish. When he came out at the end of a number of hours, he was crying like a baby. His eyes were bloodshot. So some people went over to him. Now at this point, if some of you think you've heard the story, you may have heard it the incorrect way. I'll tell you the correct way. Our family cousin, Reb Shlemke Berman, told it over to another uncle of mine, Reb Shmuel Stauber, who just said it over. Although it's from two sides of the family, this cousin said it over, not this cousin, Reb Shlemke Berman said it over to my uncle. He should have a refuah shalema. And this is what Reb Shlemke Berman said transpired. They asked him, he was sobbing, what happened by the Chazon Ish? So he said that he explained to the Chazon Ish who he was, and he told the Chazon Ish, I have here Hurei Tshuva, but I'm in a predicament because I don't know how to get out of my mess. He says, if I stay where I am, I'll continue killing Jews with my hands. And if I go ahead and I stop that, the Russians are going to go ahead and wipe out my entire family. And we're not talking now about the halachic aspect of Yehoreg Val Yavor. We're talking now in the tshuva sense. He says, what should I do? Because here, I'm killing Jews with my hands. And here, if I pull out, my family is going to be totally wiped out. So he said to the Chazon Ish, Mistoma, the only Eitzah that I have in my predicament is Zelbsmart. Zelbsmart, I have to go ahead and take my own life. And the Chazon Ish, Reb Shlomke Berman said, the Chazon Ish looked at this Russian diplomat and said to him, Mistoma Azei Daf Sutan. Mistoma Azei Daf Sutan, that's what you have to do. And this is what he told the people that the Chazon Ish had just told him. The next day, the headline in all the papers carried that a plane with the Russian diplomat had took a nosedive into the ocean, and the Russian diplomat was killed instantly. Maisa Shahaya Kachaya. Now that's a person who understood. Kolmasha Oimer Lecho Balabayas Asay Chutz Mitzei. Because he knew he was wrong. And he said to himself and to the Chazon Ish, if the only option is to take my life, Mistoma Zei Daf Sutan, I must do that. And that's what he did. Now I'm not suggesting or even saying that we have to do anything close to that. But the Nimshal is obvious. And I'm speaking to myself, I really am. I have to push myself. And I have to remember that if at one point I'm told, no, for this you don't need tshuva, or for this person you don't need to apologize, that's not true. Zoktich sam soifer, don't listen. And push yourself to the limit until you think you can't go anymore. And remember the Russian diplomat while you're at it. And realize that you have to push yourself, especially before Yom HaKippurim. Be it bein odom lamokoyim, be it bein odom lachaveroi. As my shvogar heard, I was learning yesterday with a few people, and in halacha it's brought down that if a person does not take care of his inyanim, bein odom lachaveroi, before he enters Yom HaKippurim, then the tefillos between him and the Ribbono Shel Olam are simply not heard. Not that they're heard, but on a lower level. The tefillos, it's brought down, are not heard. A person has to realize when it comes to tshuva, hirhurei tshuva, and pushing themselves, whatever the Baal HaBayis tells you, I have to push myself to the limit. So practically and tangibly, how do you do that? So I'd like to suggest to myself, based on a pshat from the Apter Rebbe, the Oyev Yisrael, a shvogar in Lakewood, or Bar Moshe Hoberman, shared with me this Oyev Yisrael, and then his own Ha'ara. Parshas Yisovim begins by telling us, Atem Nitzovim Hayayim Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, that we're standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Heilige Oyev Yisrael wonders, how, pray tell, is that possible? We go through funereal times, we go through difficult and emotional times, you're standing with the Ribbono Shel Olam? And who are we to stand with the Ribbono? We're not standing with a friend, we're standing with a spouse. Atem Nitzovim Hayoim Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. You're in front of Hashem. And how in difficult times did we possibly achieve that? That's quite an appellation, to be able to stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Zok to Oyev Yisrael, it's in the word Atem, because the word Atem is Oisiyos Emes. And if you are Emes, if you are truthful with yourself, and very often I and we don't like doing that, because when we look in the mirror, we don't exactly love the person that we might see. And we know things need to be corrected. Emes means that I'm willing to face the truth. Says the Apter Rebbe, Atem, if you lead a life of Emes, Nitzovim Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, you could stand on Yom HaKippurim in not only the proximity, but in the Kodshei HaKadoshim. This is my own addition, as I understand it, on Yom HaKippurim. Says the Oyev Yisrael, it all comes from a life of Atem, Emes. With Emes, you can go the distance. And then he continues and he says, you have a few proofs that this is the case, because in Shema Koleinu, the very powerful and poignant Tefillah, we say, Al Tashlichenu Milfonecha. What is the first letter of those three words? Al Tashlichenu Milfonecha, Emes. Al Tikach Mimenu, Rosh Teves, Emes. So again, the Apter Rebbe says that you see with Emes, you can endure and stand. my shvogar, he should live and be well, says, that's the pshat. I'm not sure how it's in Nusach Svard, and I'm not even sure if the Olam here remembers how it is in Nusach Svard. But in Shachris, at least we Ashkenaz say after Kriya Shema, V'yatzev Enochem. Now really, Kriya Shema ends, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Emes is just added, but it's Hashem Elokeichem. That's the way it ends in the Torah. So what's the next word? Emes. And what's the word after Emes? V'yatzev. Emes V'yatzev. Being truthful with yourself and going the distance. How can I improve V'yatzev? That is a direct link to enabling you to stand on Yom HaKippurim and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm sorry. Emes brings V'yatzev. When my Tayyar Shvager told it to me, I had one shaila. You know, this idea that the Torah is based on Emes is found right before Tkiya Shofar. Rosh Devarcha Emes. Nothing fancy. What's the poshet pshat? Rosh Devarcha Emes. The beginning of your Rosh Devarcha, the beginning of your Heilige Torah, Emes, is truth. Why? Because take a look at the last letter of the first three words. Bereshis, Barda Elikim. Bereshis is a Sof, Bar is an Aleph, Elikim is a Mem. That's the Poshim Pshat. We said it in Slichus about a week ago. We said it 2 days in Minah Meitzah before Kriyas HaTorah. Rosh Devarcha Emes, the beginning of the Torah, it's based and predicated on Emes. Bereshis, Bar Elikim, Sof Tevois, Emes. I wondered, of the five examples that we just gave, if the Olam is still following, not one of them spell Emes straight away. Aleph Mem Sof. Atem is out of order. Al tikach mimenu, out of order. Al pashlichenu milfonecha, out of order. Bereshis bar elokim soifei teveis, out of order. Why? It really bothered me. Every example has to be that it's out of order. And I told my shvog, and I've told it to a few people, and forgive the pun, but I hold the pshat is emes. You know why the letters are out of order? Because sometimes to get to the truth, it's not so straight and simple. It's not such a simple path that I can in 10 minutes go to the express line and purchase the MS. Sometimes things are out of order. That means you got to mix it up a little bit. You got to take a hard, I have to take a hard look at myself. And I have to mix it up a little bit. And I have to really turn things upside down and inside out. Otherwise, you're just going to come up with superficial MS or MS that's not sincere and not genuine. Maybe every example is specifically with this idea of being out of order to tell us at the root and at the core of being truthful, sometimes you got to mix it up. You got to look to the left. You got to look to the right. You have to be truthful. And after digging deep, you're able to come up with the emes. So I think that might be the answer to our Chassam Sofer. How does a person, when they're listening to the Baal HaBayis of the world, how is it that the person should say, Chutz Mitzei, here I will push myself, maybe not to the degree of the Russian diplomat, because emes. And if I know that it's the right thing, and I know that it may come, even with deep down soul searching, I'm going to do it. We've said over before, how difficult is it? There was a fellow, he was driving the wrong way on the highway. Imagine he's driving the wrong way on 95 South. And the wife is listening at home on the radio and she hears. So she calls up her husband, Beryl, there's a Meshugana that's driving the wrong way. Be careful. And he says to his wife, one Meshugana, there are hundreds of them. Because if you're not willing to be truthful with yourself, then you'll think the rest of the world is crazy. And they're the ones who are wrong. And he should be asking me mechila. And why hasn't she come to me yet? But if I would be willing to take a look and mix it up a little bit, and realize that to get the emes takes a lot of soul searching, I think that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam does want. That is fulfilling the shlo. Because that means that we're not giving in to the challenge and the nisayon of complacency. but we're willing to push ourselves, and the reward of pushing ourselves is Atem Nitzovim Lifnei Hashem Lekeichem. You stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And is there anything sweeter than that? Let's end with a bracha. You find that it says that we started last week, Malchi Yos on Rosh Hashanah. We started right after Aleinu with Al Kei Nekaveh. Now, I would really be interested in the etymologically, where does this Al Kei Nekaveh come from? It's Rosh Hashanah, it's Musaf, it's Malchi Yos, and you're starting off with Al Kei Nekaveh. I mean, like, Lahavdil, millions of times over, if we were talking about a sporting event, you'd be talking about like the ultimate batting slot, number 4 of the biggest game in the biggest arena and stadium. Al Kain, on Malchi Yos, in Musaf, on Rosh Hashanah. So who authored it? We know, of course, the first letter of Al Kain Nekaveh is Ochon, because Ochon is the one who's responsible for Al Kain Nekaveh. So it behooves us to ask ourselves, Ochon? Start Malchi Yos on Rosh Hashanah with something from Moshe Rabbeinu, something from Avram Avinu, something from David HaMelech, but Ochon? Yeah. Because if you take a look in Yeshua, Perek Zion, towards the end, we just suffered a devastating defeat from the city of Ai. And when asked, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, because one person didn't listen, when I said not to take from the spoils of Yericho, one person took when he shouldn't have. So a lot was thrown. And after the lot was cast, it turns out that the one person who was responsible for the devastating loss and who disobeyed and who ended up taking from the spoils in Yericho was Ochon. And when he was approached and confronted by Yeshua, the Pasuk tells us at the end of Perek Zion, Vayan Ochon. Ochon looked at Yeshua. He had to fess up and be truthful. He had to mix it up. And he turns to Yeshua and he says, Anoichi Chotosi LaHashem. I was wrong. It's not that the rest of the world is crazy. Anoichi Chotosi LaHashem. That's the MS. That's the Russian diplomat. That is listening to the Nisayon of the Ribbono Shel Olam to push yourself. Because it's not easy to fess up. But Ochon straight away said, Anoichi Chotosi. So he's rewarded that on Rosh Hashanah, Musaf, Malchi Yos, we start off Al Kei Nekaveh, in honor of Ochon, someone who taught us magnificently how to be so truthful with ourselves. Yehi Ratzon that we should be Zaycha. In the couple of days before Yom HaKippurim, to do what we're supposed to, Bein Adam Lechaveroi and Bein Adam Lamakim. It's not always easy, but it requires taking a look at ourselves. And if we push ourselves to the limit, and we can be like Ochon, and we can act with the same chashivos of that Russian diplomat, Soif Yomov, at the end of his life, and we realize that it's an Isayon not to go further, and to beat the Isayon means to push myself, that's the truth. We should taka bizoicha this Yom HaKippurim, Atem Nitzovim Hayoim Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Lekeichem, as a kehila, the magnificent kehila we spoke about a couple days ago, with Batei Knesiyos, Batei Midrashos, Akoilel, schools, Beis Yaakov, how fortunate we are. Never, ever take that for granted. As a kehila, we should be zoicha to fulfill being truthful with each other and with ourselves, so kulchem together, we can stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam And the Yom HaKadosh will be for us a Yom HaKippurim, a day where we exchange our chatoyim, our avoinos and pshoyim for slicha, mechila, and kapara. Gemar chasimah toivah.